Capital 263.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Dion. This is Technology. Start. Yeah, okay. And welcome to Technology. This is Dion, of course. Your host, brought to you by Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. The best and only podcast network in Zimbabwe. And I'm joined, of course, by the one, the only.
Gary Tindamano, also known as Yuga the Slum God. Yes, I'm the coolest host here. Yes, the other guy. Fine. The other guy is lame.
I won't say anything.
Yeah.
You have the right to your own opinion.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you have but the it's right not an own. Opinion. I think most of the listeners can agree to this.
Yes, it's an alternative fact. Like, yes.
like Trump's administration. So how are you doing, TCAP?
I am all right. It's been quite hectic, actually. I feel good. I feel like it's a good week. A lot of things have happened, and I'm really excited.
Like?
Google I.O. is one of them, of course. We'll talk about that. But a lot of thievery has been happening recently.
Thievery?
Thievery, yes. That's
what
a word.
Thievery?
Theft.
Oh. No, like, what do you mean, a lot?
Oh, yes, a lot. Like, Instagram, let's go there. I know a lot of people who are listening today have used or will use Instagram for quite a portion of their lifetime. And
the memes.
Yes, of course. The memes, the Photoshop, the filters and all of them.
Yeah.
And if you've been using Instagram recently, I'm pretty sure you've seen the new update.
The latest update.
The latest update.
So innovative.
Amazing.
100%. 100% original.
It came straight from the Instagram factories, people. Instagram factories.
This is the Trump accent.
100% original. We did not steal this from the Russians.
No, but wouldn't it be Snapchat who would have the Trump thing?
They are stealing our features. We need to build a wall over Snapchat.
Yeah. So basically what's happened is that Instagram has stolen the last big feature from
Snapchat,
yes, and that's I call them selfie filters. I'm not sure if that's the right term.
Well, Snapchat, the term that Snapchat uses, they call them what do they call them? They call them lenses, Snapchat lenses. So now that Instagram has officially stolen the last thing that Snapchat had to itself, the lenses, and now put them into their latest update. And I don't.
Yeah, and for those who are a bit confused, because I would have been definitely confused if you told me about Snapchat lenses. I don't use Snapchat. They're basically those, you know, those additions they put, like they put puppy ears and
yeah.
The flower crown thingy.
Yeah, they're basically filters that track your motion and your face. Yeah.
There we go. They look really good. Great use of AI as well.
Exactly.
And the Instagram are calling them face filters. And yeah.
And I have to say, you know, that, like every case with the original and the clone or the mimicking version is that the original still looks better. Snapchat looks better. The Snapchat filters look better. The Instagram ones, they look ugly.
So you've used both of them?
Yes. They look ugly.
What I've been hearing is that Instagram are trying to keep them mature because they have an older audience. Like Snapchat, well, majority of it are teenagers like us, the youth, you know. But, you know, Snapchat.
They're trying to keep
Instagram.
Them mature. Are you going to see 10-year-old, like a 20 or 30? Oh, no, wait, yeah, you can actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can see 30-year-old.
A 50-year-old using Instagram filters. You see, that is really stupid.
Look, in this market, 30 years old is still kind of old. It's like, it's technically old because with Snapchat, the average age about 19 or 18 or so.
Yeah.
Like people are all very young. So then it can be tacky and, you know, cute and overdone and people will like it. But then with Instagram, they need to still appeal to 30-year-olds. And 30-year-olds see these childish things. They'll be like, oh, get off my lawn. This is too young for me. we can't have that happening. So I think that's the reason why they're not appealing. But then, I mean, look, they have 200 million active users. Active story users. That's just for the Instagram page.
Yeah, Instagram stories. No,
more
first,
than Snapchat's active users in general.
At first, they were, wow, that is... That is savage.
That is savage.
All right. So at first, I thought that these Instagram stories would never last, but then they're actually turning out to be a very interesting feature, and that adds something more to the social network itself. I mean, Instagram before the live videos and everything was just cool. But then, you know, they edit the live videos, edit something nice. Yeah,
it's a great thing. And Facebook have it as well. So then now we can expect Facebook to have filters. Actually, I'm actually quite shocked that Facebook wasn't, you know, the thing to have the face filters and all the other copying Snapchat first.
Actually, it's quite reasonable. As you know, how less and less people are using Facebook daily compared to back in the days.
Yeah.
So Instagram is, and the Instagram user counts are going up. So that means more people are actually using Instagram than ever Facebook. Before. Yes. So Facebook still has more accounts, but I think now Instagram at this stage is more people using it daily compared to Facebook. Users.
Because exactly. A lot of people just say, I have a Facebook account.
Yes, everyone has a Facebook account, but how many people use Facebook daily?
I mean, most people even use Messenger. Messenger is a big one.
Mm. You see. So Instagram, you're seeing Instagram blowing up, becoming something bigger. So now it's actually the social network, and they're investing everything they have into Instagram rather than investing it into Facebook. It's a really smart move.
Fair enough. I mean, I do see that. But then I'm quite saddened right now by the fact that, you know, Snapchat came up with an original idea. They came up with all these great original ideas. But now they're threatened as a company because a big conglomerate like Instagram, or Facebook in this case, can just pop up and say, look, we're bigger than you. We have money and we have influence. So we're going to use that to crush you. And we're going to see less innovation as a result. I think that's the problem that comes up with this.
Well, this is just a typical example of corporate espionage. We've really seen it many times before. You know, mobile companies have done it before, like stealing small features from unknown companies, putting them on their flagships.
Or even buying companies. Exactly. Yeah, that happens a lot.
You know, stealing ideas from other smaller companies, incorporating it into their companies. So it's really just all business. It's strictly business. You know, in the corporate world, there's no mercy. I mean, if I really don't care about you and I want to make money, I would do everything in my power to legally just take you out, make you obsolete and irrelevant. And this place of irrelevancy, this is where I see Snapchat going. And, you know, the numbers even saying it.
It's really sad. I mean, you could remember the days when when Samsung was, well, I mean, they're still competing with Apple, but the days when it was fierce, when Samsung were literally copying every single thing Apple did. And it was crazy because people were like, look, this company's not original. But then Apple is, you know, Apple's still a huge company. They will not disappear anytime soon. And at the time, it wasn't as if there was any threat. Like, they weren't in the same situation as Snapchat. And that's why I'm more sympathetic to them, you know, to Snapchat, because seeing them going away because they're a smaller company. But then, you know, Samsung have stolen all these features. Like, remember the S2.
Yeah.
Like, they had someone did like a literal comparison. They put an S2 and then they put I think it was an iPhone 3G. Yes, a 3G. And the phones looked the same. Like, the buttons were literally the only thing that were different because the Samsung.
No, it was the first Galaxy.
The first one.
Yeah,
the S1. First one,
yeah.
The S, as it's called. Exactly, there's the S. Between the S and the S2, because they're also quite
similar. No, it was either the first one.
My word, they were too similar.
They stole the button, the way that the phone looked, the speakers.
Everything about it was sad. Even like, the wallpaper was the same.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And, I mean, we could say it's continued, you know, with Apple Pay coming out. That was, a great innovation by Apple, and then Samsung copied it. And they had Samsung Pay.
Yeah, it's really sad, and you know, it's something that's gonna be there in the corporate world, whether we like it or not. People are gonna be stealing ideas from each other. I think at this point, it's just the way it is, and it's just the way a common trend. You know, if you don't have an idea, just steal somebody else's idea, use it, make it better. That's what people are doing.
I mean, Apple have been doing that as well. They've always done that. iPod, iPhone, they're not new things. They're just done well.
iPod, they literally stole that from the Walkman.
Yeah,
you see.
So it's just, now that's the question: is it still stealing? If it's like that, or is it just, you know, creating a product? You see,
no, like, I think you've a scapegoat. If you take something, then you perfect it. I don't really think it's stealing. I think it's improving on something, on someone else's idea.
So
but
like
then
the
if you just blatantly take someone's idea, like what they did with the lenses, Instagram, that's just basic stealing.
Yeah. And, you know, on that note, we're talking about Samsung Pay. It's official. This week, it's launched in the UK, the United Kingdom. And I was more interested in this story because I wanted to talk about, you know, all these NFC payment options versus EcoCash. So Samsung Pay uses NFC, near-field communication, for those who do not know. That's basically, it's like Bluetooth, but it's...
Yeah.
How do I say? It's like it uses less battery.
Yeah, it's more passive.
It's more passive. It doesn't, it's more not like an active thing. So what you do is that you tap your phone onto like a little pad terminal or pad in the store. And then your phone will open the app automatically. Your card will pop up. You have to just put a few details, like maybe your PIN number. Or if you're using one of the the better phones, you could just put in your fingerprint.
Yeah.
Or if you're using the S8, you can even put your iris scan. Just scan your iris.
Yeah.
There we go. And then boom, you connect and you just pay for that. Yeah. And it's a fantastic feature. But then I thought, well, we have EcoCash right now. And what if I was to argue that EcoCash is a much more elegant solution?
Really?
Yes, I actually want to argue that right now.
Why?
Because, okay, if you noticed the newer EcoCash solution that they've been doing, what they've been doing, a couple of shops, they don't... Okay, so you know in some shops, if you go to some shops and you want to pay through EcoCash, you have to press the whole number in, *151, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's really horrible. I hate doing that. Better solution was you put your number down. So it's like you just type in your number quickly. And then after that, you get a message like within, seconds on your phone. You put your PIN and everything just goes through and it's done. And you can do that. You can do that even with a feature phone. Like if you have the newly released Nokia 3310, you could use that to, you know, pay with EcoCash. But then with NFC, you have to have your phone and
smartphone, not just any phone.
Yes, your flagship smartphone. You had to, if you don't tap properly, it won't work. If you mess up with the details, it won't work. We've seen sometimes fair enough, Touch ID and the fingerprint scanners on like the Huawei's and the Pixels, they've been doing really well. But then some phones, the fingerprint scanners can be a bit problematic. And you can get in a situation where when you tap it, it doesn't really get it quickly.
Yeah, especially with the iPhones, the iPhone 6 and the 6S. You have to really make sure that sometimes it's clean to use it.
The Samsung especially have been a problem because I've noticed some of the guys, when they're having their phone with friends at school, they tap it first time. And they'd be like, no, they have to slide down, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they have to slide down. They slide down the first time, it's like, then they keep doing the sliding thing. And I'm thinking, that's not really a nice experience. And you could imagine if you're at a shop trying to buy something, you keep sliding, and everyone looks at you like, dude.
Yeah, even the same thing with the iPhones. You have to clean it. Or if you keep on unlocking with using your fingerprint, sometimes you reach a point where you actually have to input the password instead of just...
Yeah, and that's not an elegant solution. I just think, and look, the main problem with NFC payments like this is the fact that, Samsung Pay is launched in the UK, but it's only for select banks. Like, you can only use these banks, like I think it's HSBC and the like. And if you're using the wrong bank, you can't use it. And if you go to the wrong shops, you can't use it because some shops don't have the NFC tag thing.
But honestly, I feel like, This whole NFC is overly more secure compared to EcoCash. And EcoCash, if EcoCash doesn't make more improvements to make
the security,
to make the whole process more secure, because EcoCash has been hacked before. People are using fraudulent information to steal cash from EcoCash and stuff like that. And there have been messages circulating on WhatsApp on being circulated by Econet telling people do not pay extra payments and everything. To use EcoCash, you know.
Wait, people do that?
Yes.
So they make this kind of like scam where they say, you have to charge us $1 for every transaction, something like that, right?
Yeah. And I think they have to make it more secure for people because people are being taken advantage of. So that's what I'm saying. Why with NFC, even though it's not available to most people, I think overall it's just the more secure, faster alternative to this. But we're not going to get it in Africa, like in Zim for a while.
Fair enough. I didn't really think of the security.
You see.
But then,
keep on going.
Shut up.
You've been schooled.
Listen. No, I didn't think.
Take this PhD. I won't say take this L, because take this PhD, you've been schooled, son.
I wasn't thinking about security as much, because you see, that's the thing. People really take security for granted. I mean, even with the whole ransomware that happened recently, the WannaCry thing, people have been really taking security not seriously. And I think people shouldn't do that. Like, it's dangerous. We've seen how bad it can be. Like, the hackers have actually earned more than $87,000 from people actually paying them for the ransomware.
That's dope.
For them, not for the consumers. Because if you got hacked, if you got affected by it, and you paid the monies, what's the guarantee that they'll actually, like, decrypt your stuff and actually help you? What if they decide, ah, screw you, thanks for the money, and just go? There's no liability. What are you going to do, sue them?
Well, so I was surprised to learn that WannaCry actually made it into Zim.
Seriously?
Yes.
Who got affected? Is there any news?
I know. Zimbabwe was on the list of the affected countries. So, like, the list of affected countries, mainly most Asian countries, American countries, Britain. America was lucky in the sense that this whole thing happened over the weekend for them. Like, it happened on a Friday, so most computers were turned off. So
By the time
there is Monday, they're told, hey, something happened over the weekend. Do not open shady emails. Do not open this. Just update your computers first. And they diverted that. Wow, the unfortunate Africans, that happened. I do not know how they were able to pay the bitcoins.
I don't know. Like, do they even pay for it? I don't think anyone could even pay for it because that would be horrible. Imagine you get hit by such ransomware, then you can't even pay. Like, you are physically unable to, even if you're like a billionaire, even if Steve Masiwa's laptop here in Zimbabwe was like affected, he'll just be sitting
but
there
you
like,
don't have Bitcoin.
Yeah.
All right. My so, word. The surprising thing, Marcus, what's his name? Marcus Hutchins?
Marcus Hutchins is a 22-year-old guy.
Yeah, the guy who accidentally stopped some of the remaining computers that were stopped, who accidentally saved some of the people that have been were being affected by WannaCry. So he created a software that originally he created to trick WannaCry, right? But then somewhere along the way, he actually found out that not only was his software tracking WannaCry, it was finding it and disabling the
How is that accidental?
I don't know. It was really accidental. He just, okay.
I think that's just the media trying to make it sound cool. Like, I am on Google, then, oh, look, I accidentally hacked WannaCry. Yay for me. I really think that's how they're doing it.
But seriously, like, some of these things are accidental. I think because what happened is that his software took advantage of a bug that is in WannaCry. And this enabled it to shut down the whole entire malware.
So the whole thing was...
Yeah.
Shut down because of it. But that's impressive.
You see.
And he's only 22, which is quite young.
Yeah. This guy and the other guy who hacked Google, those guys are impressive.
Yeah, youth saving the world. But then one thing you notice is that most of these viruses and the antidotes to them are usually done by the youth. Like, if you remember back in the 90s, there was the Hello Virus, the Hello Malware, that one.
There's always.
By a 17-year-old.
You see.
Who ended up getting a job. He went to do community service for 6 months. He caused $2 billion worth of damages and went to do community service for 6 months and afterwards got a job.
Most hackers are teenagers. You know, the 13-year-old who hacked Snapchat, who hacked Google, who hacked Microsoft, who hacked Apple. It's just like,
jeez.
Yeah, they literally pay him. So they're now literally paying him
like a white hat hacker.
Yeah, to close loopholes in their software.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. Like he would do the same job, but instead of doing it publicly and saying, I broke your systems, he'd tell them privately that here if you do this.
Exactly.
He's exposed.
So that's his job. And he's only 13. And he's self taught.
Yeah, this Hutchins guy is also self educated.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Oh yeah, one thing we'd left. So as fellow Zimbabweans, as you have noticed in the past, you sometimes buy bundles, right? Then you get like 250 megabytes of Econet Wi-Fi. But then the problem is that there are no Econet Wi-Fi hotspots in your local surrounding.
Funny story, I actually have 1,500 megabytes worth of Econet Wi-Fi bundles.
So now, my
actual bundles are finished.
Lucky for you. Lucky for you. Now, Econet recently sort of relaunched they tried it on a smaller scale at first, the whole Econet Wi-Fi, mobile Wi-Fi combi thingy. So now they relaunched the program whereby they put mobile hotspots in.
In combis?
Yeah, and they launched about 50 combis with mobile hotspots. So now you're not only are you going to be able to stream, you're going to be able to use your extra megabytes that you never use on your combi trip to wherever you're going, Kugomba town. Yeah.
Borrowdale.
Yeah, Borrowdale. Really? Yeah, Borrowdale. Village. Whatever. Village. Village. You know, app your girlfriend.
Wherever you're going.
Yeah, I'm in the Uber. Yes. You're all doing it in the combi. But yeah.
Yes, they have Uber. They have they have Wi-Fi on our Uber these days.
Yeah.
But I thought Zimbabwe doesn't have Uber yet.
See, that is basically the entire story. There's nothing much to it. But
yeah. But how would you know if the combi has the hotspot or not?
There's literally a large white sticker outside the combi. Hey, Econet Wi-Fi zone. That is
seriously? So they're going to get like branded and everything?
Haven't you seen them?
I have not seen them. I have seen Econet combis, yes.
It'll be written Econet Wi-Fi zone on the door.
Isn't it?
Like it's literally a large sticker.
And it says Econet Wi-Fi zone.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. That is... that would really help, actually, in the commute. If you want to just go out and browse and whatnot.
Yes, my brothers would not have airtime. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they have bundles, so...
The T-caps and the Dions. Yes.
Moving on swiftly. We have another interesting story coming up, sticking to phones as well. So in 2015, Econet announced and they did move on to 4G LTE. So did NetOne follow suit. So those are the two mobile operators that were on 4G. And it's now May 2017, 2 years later. And drum roll, please. Telcel have now moved on to 4G. Yeah, the CEO announced that they're moving on to bigger things.
These are people clapping in the background.
Yes, exactly. Applause.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, someone deserves a raise for this.
Innovative, man. Woo! You know, like at every convention, there's always that guy in the crowd who's overreacting. Like, woo,
yeah, exactly.
Man, woo!
Like at the Google I/O, there was always that one guy who's like, "Oh my god!
Oh my god!" Do you remember the original iPhone launch? Oh my god!
Yes. Like Steve Jobs literally just said, if you want to see your music library, all you have to do is slide. And then he just slid the screen and people were gasping like it was such a new thing. back in 2000. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But yes, you think they should have done this 10 years ago, but they've only done it now. Telcel have launched LTE. It was the CEO, Angeline Vere, who announced it, which I'm excited-ish for because, well, look, it sucks that some people are still on 3G. You know, Telcel is... We need competition for Econet. I've always said that. And to see the competition finally doing something better is great. I mean, I'm not really happy that it's only coming now because, well, now everyone in the US is talking about 5G. And here's Telcel saying, look, we're going into 4G. It's kind of sad. But then, you know, that's the situation. And it's at least, look, we're getting competition. That's what we want, right?
Yeah.
Competition.
At least people are getting competition. But hey, what can you do about it? Zimbabwe is so...
My question is, why is it that NetOne were able to go to 4G really quickly, but Telcel wasn't? But they're both government parastatals. That makes no sense to me. You'd think like they'd both go together, but no, they didn't.
It's you know what, there's something that's always really complicated with these government institutions. It's because underfunding, favoritism, corruption, there's always more at play in these government institutions. Misuse of funds. And I'm really surprised. I'm really surprised they've made it. But why? Why so long?
Like it's two years, guy. 2 freaking years.
No, but then 4G originally came out in like 2013.
Yeah, no, they 2013. Did. When it did, Econet did, like, when it came out, new people, Econet pledged that they were looking to actually improve the infrastructure.
Yeah.
That was in 2013. That's when they started talking about LTE. Then it took them about 2 years to get it done, and that's when 2015 they launched it.
Yeah.
And Net1 did the same thing. I think.
I think late 2014, that's when they launched it. Then 2015, 2016, 2017. That's like, what, 5 years? 5 years later.
That is when now we're starting to talk about 5G. And
5G has already launched the S8. I think it was meant, you know, the S8 is officially enabled for 5G.
There's a bit of, not controversy per se, but like a bit of a mix-up. Because there's a new 4G technology that's come out. It's still 4G. Then there's 5G proper is yet to come out. It's yet to come out. That's what I'm hearing, but... Because was it AT&T in the States? They were actually advertising something as 5G, but the truth is it was just 4G.
Yeah, yeah. There are always complications with these types of mobile providers. But I really think that this time it's better to upgrade to 5G than innovate on 4G technology been here for 4-5 years already.
Half a decade.
Exactly. Yeah, it's already half a decade. And this is when Telesa was finally implementing the technology to their daily users. It's really
sad. But yeah, let us know what you think. Do you have a phone that uses 5G or 4G or 3G? Are you still a GPRS fan or something?
Let us know. It has been completely disabled in America. Completely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic.
So no 2G, no
1G,
yeah.
GPRS Edge.
Yeah, all those, they're gone.
Thank goodness.
It helps people buy more phones. It actually helps the mobile phone manufacturers, if you look at it.
Mm.
It's really helpful. So, guys, let us know what you think about everything that has happened this week.
We're gonna have a special episode next week for Google I/O, hence the shortness of this one.
Yeah, because there's literally too much information to talk about. So we have chosen to do a special episode for Google I/O alone.
Yes, that will be next week.
Do that alone.
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 And on that note, we're supposed to let you go.
Like Gary, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram. My name is Hugo. You get the slump god, yeah, because I'm a slump god, get it? Yeah. So, hugo.slumgod, yes. For all your feedback, you can go to Technology Podcast. That's our Instagram page. Like, leave comments. You know, you can diss TCAP on how ugly he looks. Or you can catch him on.
Thank you. I am Dion Spring. That's where I am on Twitter. You can also find the podcast on Twitter at Technology FM. You can find the podcast on Facebook as well. That's also at Technology FM. We'd love to see you there. Thank you for listening and have a great one.
Bye.
And now. Capital 263.